week we talked about dreams for the future. And some of you were kind enough and bold enough to share some of those dreams publicly. And it was really exciting. I mean, I was so excited to hear Doreen sharing from her heart and all the years of experience and gifting that God has given her, encouraging our worship team to get some CDs going with some of that lovely music. And indeed, the worship last week and in these weeks has been really, really wonderful. So whether you were here last week or you've just jotted something down now, we're thinking about dreams for the future. And last week we defined a dream, not as something that comes from us, but actually God's ideal, God's desire that he is whispering into our hearts so that when that thing is actually fulfilled, he will receive all the glory because it came from him and he knows what he's doing. We talked about the fact that every single thing in this room, this microphone that you see here, was once an idea in someone's head, but it became reality. And I believe that God wants to whisper things into our hearts about what he wants us to become and what he wants us to do in his strength. He wants to do that for us. And so those things that might be a little whisper or a dream today, during 2011, in the next 4 years, 5 years, during sometime during the rest of our lives, those things that he's whispered will become reality. I'm looking at Michelle, and she's been out on the doulos, and now she's about to go out again. And God's been whispering things into her. I never forget back in Hungary a few years ago when God whispered into her heart that he wanted her to be involved with OM. And she listened to that voice, and that thing that was a total dream back there in Hungary has now become reality, and she can look back and say that actually happened. And if that actually happened, then God wants to do it again and again for all of us. And I find that very exciting. So I want you to think about the dream that you shared with the group last week, or maybe something that you've just jotted down this morning, and just think of the one that you really feel God is speaking to you about, or that you really would love to see come true in the near future. Now my question now is, what are the obstacles? What are the obstacles that could keep you from achieving that? Now what I'd encourage you to do now is just turn in pairs, and for about 90 seconds in pairs, just talk about that question. What would be the obstacles that would stop that dream being achieved? Go to it for a couple of minutes. 90 seconds. Each other. But let's just say we'll finish there. Helen, would you come and help me for a minute? Please. Helen's going to stand at the whiteboard and could we get a bit of feedback from everyone? Just what are some of those obstacles that you've been talking about? We'll just make a list of them. Really need your cooperation. I know this is a different paradigm. Thank you, Xiaomin. Self-discipline. Thank you. What else could stop us? Health. Thank you. That's a good one. We're going to define these in two big categories in a moment. Financial difficulties. Okay. Yes, Doreen? Positive thinking. Oh, here she. We've got a very positive thinking lady here. What did you talk about? Let's just have a couple more ideas. Fear. Now, there's one. Thank you for being honest. Fear. Laziness. Oh, we're getting really honest now. All right, we could go on and on. I'm sure that there are lots of things that you've talked about already. What I want to do is categorise these two things into external and internal issues. Now, the external issues would be things that are absolutely out of our control. On the Tuesday before Christmas, when we got the phone call that Penny had died in Sydney, that shocked us, and it was something totally out of our control. And some of the things that are external might be finances. That might be something that is out of your control. When I think of some of the quite wealthy people who've been shaken to their core over the last 18 months during the world financial crisis, it's quite amazing, because they thought that with lots of money, either in shares or in the bank, they were in control of their lives. But suddenly a lot of people who'd actually retired are now back at work because their finances just disappeared. That was out of their control. Circumstances. Well, I guess that's obvious. We've talked about that. Lack of resources. I know that as the leaders of this church have thought about this space problem that we're facing, while our faith is in God, if we're really honest, when it really gets down to it, we think, well, lack of resources. We know that God can supply, but that's always something there. So that's external. Internal, a couple of you have been bold enough to talk about fear. Maybe you hear God whispering something into your ear and you see, I could never see that happening in my life. And you're fearful about it. Some of us, just because the way we're made, is we lack confidence. And that's something that we need to overcome. Or insecurity. All of these issues. I know that I've talked about this before, but for probably 8 years in these leadership courses that we do around the world, we talk about some of this stuff, and every year I've written down one of the goals that I want to achieve when it comes to health is I want to swim regularly. And it's only in the last 3 months that I've done it. But for 8 years I've made excuses. You know, I felt that the money side of it was a little bit expensive down there at AJ's. And what would the other guys who are swimming 50 laps every day like Phillips lie and worse still, June lie, you know, if they saw me there, and I'm floundering along and puffing, you know, and they're just cruising backwards and forwards. I met June there the other day, actually. Then, of course, I always made the excuse that I didn't have time. How could I spend an hour down there every morning? That wouldn't work. And anyway, I'm 65, so I'm too old for this. Of course, I get down there now and discover there are 85-year-olds who are swimming laps every morning. I was having a wonderful chat with my new friend Nick this week. And shouldn't I be spending that time in prayer and Bible study? Honestly, that was a big one for me. So I've had to readjust my program. I want to have time with God every morning, but I realise at this stage of my life that my body is very important and I need to spend time to keep it going, so that I can serve the Lord. So actually, over those 8 years, my dream died because of all this negative stuff that came up in my mind. Here's a few others. We could probably fill the whole board with ideas here. So what I want to suggest here is that a significant obstacle to help us achieving what God wants to do in us and through us are our own internal thoughts. You know, over the years I've been quite a positive person, but I've found the older I get and the more I'm experiencing on the negative stuff of life, it's easier for me now, driving along in the car, to default to a negative thought. And that little fear comes up. You know how those butterflies come in your stomach? Have you ever had that? And I'm finding that this is a real challenge for me. A negative thought that I really don't believe that this could happen to me. And those thoughts keep telling me I can't do it, or even God couldn't do it through me. Henry Ford said this, "Those who think they can and those who think they can't are both right." Isn't that interesting? Now, my challenge to myself and to all of us this morning is, the question is, but what does God think about these thoughts that we're having? And what does the Bible have to say about this? Do you think that God wants to fill our minds with thoughts of dreams for the future that we could never accomplish? Now, I've come to realize that God loves us. He is our Heavenly Father, and He's not tricky. He doesn't whisper things into our minds and then have us go along the way, and then we get so fearful and He says, "Ah, told you, couldn't do it." God's not like that. I believe when God whispers things into our hearts, He's saying, "I want to come and fill you with my Holy Spirit so that you, in my power, can achieve those things that I want to see done in you and for you." Let's listen. I've asked six people this morning to read some scriptures on this subject. What does God say about this? Who has number one, please? And I wonder, is there a roving microphone available? I'm sorry I didn't talk to you about this before, guys.
That's the one.
Great. Thanks, Mike. Would you mind doing the honours? Who has number one? Thanks.
For as he thinks within himself, so he is. Proverbs 23:7.
Now there it is up on the screen. For as a man thinks within himself, so he is. Number two. Mike, would you mind doing the honours and take the mic to the next person? Who has number two? Oh, Doreen.
For you ought to put off the old man according to your way of living before, who is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And you should put on the new man, who according to God was created in righteousness and true holiness.
Now there it is through the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4. Be renewed in the spirit of your... what is it? Minds. We're talking about our mind. The mind is very, very important. Who has number three, please?
Yep. Finally, my brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are right, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is any praise, think on these things. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8.
Thank you very much, Xiaomin. That's think on these things. And when I was talking a little moment ago about this little fear that comes up and the butterflies in the stomach, this verse has helped me more than anything else. And this is what God actually commands me to do. I'm to think on things that are pure, that are right, that are of good report. It's so easy for me to think of things that are of crummy report or bad report. But God says, no, think on these things. Okay, number four.
It is true that we live in the world, but we do not fight from worldly motives. The weapons we use in our fight are not the world's weapons, but God's powerful weapons, which are used to destroy strongholds. We destroy false arguments. We pull down every proud obstacle that is raised against the knowledge of God. We take every thought captive and make it obey Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5.
Thank you very much. I didn't highlight the word thought, which I should have done there, but there in 2 Corinthians, take every thought captive. Interesting. Okay, number five.
Therefore, your minds must be clear and ready for action. Place your confidence completely in what God's kindness will bring you when Jesus Christ appears again. 1 Peter 1:13.
Okay, so there it is again, and the emphasis on the mind. Your minds must be clear and ready for action. And then the final one is from Romans chapter 12.
So, my friends, because of God's great mercy to us, I appeal to you. Offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to His service and pleasing to Him. This is the true worship that you should offer. Do not conform yourselves to the standards of this world, but let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. Then you will be able to know the will of God, what is good and is pleasing to him and is perfect. Romans chapter 12, 1-2.
Thanks, Catherine. So there it is again. Let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. So each one of these verses is thinking about thoughts. It's thinking about our mind. The Bible clearly teaches that God wants to transform our minds. He wants to renew our minds. He wants every thought to be taken captive by His Holy Spirit in our mind. So the Bible is full of this idea that we are to think that everything is possible with God. As I've been reading through the Old Testament again, I look at those saints who really trusted God. He was able to do wonderful things in them because their minds were transformed and they were open to allow Him not only to speak to them, but then to empower them to achieve the will of God. So my next question is this. Maybe we just go back to the first one. In what ways can we fulfill this command to renew our minds? And I'm sure many things are coming to your minds right now. Probably you're thinking of, well, I should be up every morning and praying and studying the Bible. I should come on Sunday and worship and fellowship with God's people. I need to keep short accounts with God so that when I'm conscious that I've sinned, I should confess that sin and receive His forgiveness. So I need to live a life of repentance. The thing I want to concentrate on just for the next 15 or 20 minutes is simply this. In what ways can we fulfill this command to renew our minds? I want to suggest that we need to believe what God says about us. And the Bible is full of wonderful statements about who you are in Christ, who I am in Christ. In other words, we need to accept our identity in Christ. Now, you have before you that sheet with about 30 verses. Could we just read the first four together? Take out that sheet, My Identity in Christ, and let's read these first four together. Let's go. I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. I am a child of God, part of His family. I am part of the true vine, a branch of Christ's life. Now, what I'd like you to do for a couple of minutes is just read through that list and just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, and with your pencil, just highlight two or three that would be really meaningful for you at this point in your life. Just two or three. Three of you a question. Who are you? For example, I'll say, Dinesh, who are you? And he will say, I am one of these that he's circled here. So, Dinesh, who are you? Amen. That's pretty precious, isn't it? Sam, who are you? Hey, I wrote that one down too. That's very precious. And as I know, as I've been with Sam for lunch over at where he works, that is very, very precious and real for him. Fiona, who are you? Amen. Praise the Lord. Mike, who are you? Amen. Praise God. What I'm going to ask you to do is get into groups of eight, and then I'm going to give you an instruction. So just mess the whole place up now and just get into groups of eight. Go for it. Question for you. Are these things, these statements that we've read, are they true because we believe them? Or are they true so we believe them? Are these things true because we believe them? Or are they true and we believe them? The second one, eh? These things are true, therefore we believe them. This is the essence of God's word. We come to God's word, which is truth, and we believe God's word. They're not true just because we believe them. Doreen won't mind me saying this, but she used the term positive thinking. Now, I'm not against positive thinking, but sadly there are so many people out in the world today who just think that through positive thinking they can make it without God. We need God's word. That's where the positive thinking comes, and we place our faith and our belief in God's word. So let's just reflect as we conclude this morning. What would be the significance of these I am statements that we find all through the Bible for us? We started off thinking about dreams for the future and maybe what God would like to do in us and through us in this coming year. Something that we really feel that God wants us to pursue. And then we identified the fact that there are obstacles that stop us doing these things. And often those obstacles are within us. Our laziness, our fear, our lack of trust in God. Whatever those things are, which would prevent us accomplishing those dreams that God's been whispering into our hearts. And then we realise that God's got a lot to say in the Bible about the renewing of our mind, taking every thought captive to Christ. And actually, we are commanded to renew our minds. It's not just an option. This is something God commands us to do, that we are to think about who we are in Christ and act on that basis. And so by accepting what God says about us, our thoughts and our inner beliefs become based not on fears or what's happening out in the world, they become based on what God says in His Word. 3 or 4 months ago, our son who was staying with us really hurt his back very, very badly. And after a few weeks, I said to him, hey, how about you and I go swimming together? And so I went with fear and trepidation, truly. But after the second day, I went down there and I signed up for 6 months with a direct debit from my bank account. And I thought, if I make that commitment, then I'm committed. And this week, I went down to A-Mart and I bought myself a pair of goggles, a kickboard, a pair of flippers, and some earplugs. And I've spent $100. And I'm committed. And I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. And this is very meaningful to me right now because I believe I have a responsibility to care for the temple in which the Holy Spirit is living. It's not that I neglect other parts of my life, it's I feel I've become more holistic. I'm really looking at things in a new way. And so I hope that there are areas of your life where you can take one of these I am statements and say, I am such and such, therefore I'm going to trust God to do this in me and through me. So what God says about me is true. What Satan says is always lies. He always tells lies about us. If I was chosen in Christ to bear fruit, according to John chapter 15, verse 16, how could I keep thinking, I'll never make a difference in this world? God says, I've chosen you to go and bear fruit. And I keep thinking, I'll never make a difference in this world. How can that be? If I've been given the mind of Christ, according to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16, how can I think that we can't find a way? And this is a big one for the leaders of our church and for all of us in these next few months as we seek God's way forward for us, that we really hear the mind of Christ. Do you want to hear the mind of Christ for Southside? I sure do. So these thoughts are to be transformed by accepting that he will actually supply our needs. It says in Philippians 4:19 that God will supply all our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. So, folks at Southside, we better start believing that he's going to supply our needs. Okay? Well, how do these statements affect our lives? We've put a few things up there. These statements should help us to remind me of what God wants me to be. They should help me to overcome the lies of Satan that he keeps whispering into my ears. They should help me to overcome those negative attitudes that we just seem to default to over and over and over again. And I believe that these I am statements of who Christ is will help us to overcome these internal obstacles. You know, these are just not I am statements. These are statements about the living Lord Jesus Christ who has come to live in you if you put your trust in him. So they're not sort of external statements that by positive thinking and believing in them it's going to happen. This is the life of Christ in me. How can we remind ourselves of these statements? I've just got two or three suggestions here. How can we remind ourselves? One would be to just review this list continuously. So please don't throw this list away. In fact, I would encourage those of you who are good on the computers, maybe redo it, laminate it, and put one, ladies, in your Bible or in your handbag. I know someone who has it hung up on the mirror, so every morning when he's shaving, he's reminding himself as who he is in Christ. Maybe you'd like to do something like that. We're going to come to the Lord's table now, and we'll share the elements together, and then we're going to have a time of prayer. And I'm going to encourage all of us to pray for some of the needs that are in our congregation, and then right at the end I'm going to encourage you to just get with one other person and let's encourage each other this morning as we go out of here of who we are in Jesus Christ.